Well, morning everyone. That was a bright and happy good morning then, thank you. I thought there might be a few less of you, but not everyone's gone on holidays, or there's still a few who are going to go after this. Got a few, no? All sticking around, loving Bundy life. There you go. Well, we have reached the final message of the Gospel-Shaped Work series this morning. We'll be back to the Gospel of John starting next week. I think it's been a good series, certainly thought-provoking, and hopefully you've had some good discussions in your home groups and the chance just to reflect on the place of work in our lives. Before we begin the final message, though, I have told you guys before, I don't pre-watch the videos that are shown in the studies because I like to attack the passage from my own fresh perspective. Now, obviously, he recommends passages, and I always pick his primary recommended one so that it does overlap with the studies to some extent. I'm sure you've noticed that as we've gone through. That's true until this morning where I ditched all of his passages. So there will be no sort of overlap between this morning's message and the study this week. That's not to have a go at Tom or the passages he chose. I just really felt that I wanted to head in a different direction this morning. So, enjoy the study. It will still be helpful. We're just going on a slightly different angle this morning. Tom is going to look fairly closely at the fact that we will be a part, as Christians, of a new heaven and a new earth. That God will recreate all things, and in the new creation, everything will have been perfected. The Garden of Eden, recreated, redone, that sense of sinless joy. Now, this is really amazing to think about and something worth doing a study on. But like I said, I'm just going to approach it from a different angle this morning. To start with, I guess I want to talk about something that I guess really greatly concerns me, and I know some of the other elders as well, about the church in the West, in Australia, in Queensland, and right here in Bundy. And I'm going to talk about COVID and the vaccine. Now, do I get any points for bravery this morning? Actually, I'm not going to talk about them. What I'm going to talk about is our reaction to them. Too many Christians are responding to the virus or responding to the vaccine in fear. Real fear. And I want to challenge you this morning that that is not biblical and it's not right. I'm not trying to say this morning whether or not you should get the vaccine. As far as I'm concerned, that is none of my business. Absolutely none of my business. And by the way, I don't think it's any of your business for each other either. Right? None of my business. But I do want to argue, make an informed decision, but not a fearful one. So the message this morning is going to be about why it matters. Why it matters that we're not consumed by fear. Why we should be concerned about fear in the heart of the Christian. So to do that, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 58, if you have your Bible with you. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 58. Hopefully many of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, one of the most clear out there descriptions of the gospel in the entirety of the New Testament comes in 1 Corinthians 15, but that happens a little earlier on and sometimes we don't keep reading, but we're going to focus in here from verse 53. All right. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Oh, if that doesn't stir you this morning, then go and see one of our doctors because you're dead, right? This is a passionate part of Scripture. Now, right at the start, we have a hint of what we are working towards. Now, Tom calls this sermon, this message, what we are working towards. And like I said, he focuses in on that day of living. And so this gives us that hint that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed. For our perishable, sin-addled, COVID-ridden or vaccine-ridden bodies will have no place in eternity, because eternity will be a place of perfection where anything broken is made new and completely perfected. There'll be nothing broken there. All things will be recreated, not patched up, but made anew. And this is important. Almost anything that we try to patch up never quite works, does it? The color is always slightly off. You know, paint, try and match up paint. It's never quite perfectly right. Or whatever we bring together is weaker or stronger than the original material. But we could not be talking about an object. We could be talking about us as people. And our patches never quite work completely. Our patches may hide the flaw, which is underneath. But those who create the patch can always see where it is. Other people might be fooled, but those who create the patch can always see it. But God is not going to patch up this world. He's going to recreate the world. And He's going to recreate you and me. Perfected. Flawless. God's will for creation cannot be thwarted. His purpose when He created the world will be achieved. So in the garden, He created this perfect place where God dwelt with us. There was work to do, but as we've said, it was perfected work, a perfect harvest of fruit and vegetables, free of pest or disease. And God is going to recreate this perfect world, and He's going to recreate a perfect you in an instant. The perishable will be transformed into the imperishable. How incredible. I just want you to think for a moment. No aches or pains. I took a deep breath at the bottom of the stairs there to come up them this morning. And that's because after 12 months off, I went back to the gym. And I did leg day on Friday. And yeah, I'm struggling to sit down. Anyway, right? Aches and pains. None of them. No sickness. No aging. No ads for anti-aging creams. It really will be perfect, right? All of those things are gone. No being unfit. Just perfect. Made perfect to fit as a part of God's perfect creation where we will dwell with Him for all eternity. So looking at that truth that Paul quotes right at the start of our passage, he then quotes Isaiah and Hosea, and he says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting?" How can death have any victory or any sting when Jesus has conquered sin and death? Now, I'm going to give you a really poor illustration, but I'm just going to run with it anyway. I just want you to think about this for a moment. Most of us work 40 to 50 years and then retirement looms. And people are often very worried about retirement. There are those who simply know they don't have enough to retire, and they know that they're going to have to tighten the belt in many ways. They wrestle deeply with how long should I keep working? Maybe 65 is not good enough. Maybe it's 68. Maybe it's 70. Because they realize they're short. There are plenty of people who are just unsure. What's going to happen when I retire? Will I be bored when I retire? What will I do if interest rates drop after I retire and then what I plan to retire on becomes less than what I planned on retiring on, right? These are stresses people have about retirement. Let me ask you this. I just want you to think about this for a moment. What if it was a fact, it was guaranteed that as soon as you retire, you receive your health back to when you started work? Guaranteed, the day you retire, you get your health back to being 18 years of age. What if all your debts get automatically paid and you receive enough money to do the things you always wanted to try, travel overseas, whatever it might be? And it's guaranteed, it all happens the day you retire. Tell me, how many of you would be fearful of retirement? Or how many of you would just be trying to figure out how you could retire earlier, right? Isn't that a reality? Steve's like, yep, done, right? I think that's all of us, isn't it? This is what Paul is saying. You know for a fact what's going to happen when you die if you've put your faith in Jesus. You know that you're going to have eternal life. You know that you're going to be with Jesus forever. You know that in an instant you will be perfected. You know that the old order is gone and you will have Christ forevermore. There is no unknowns about what happens next. None. There is no fear like we have with retirement. There is only the expectation of glory forevermore. But that is the good news. Colossians 2:13-15 says this. Colossians 2:13-15. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus disarmed death by taking away the record of sins. Right? The penalty of sin is death. If you put your faith in Jesus, then all of your sin is paid for by his sacrifice on the cross, which means if the devil comes to accuse, your record of sin has been cancelled by the blood of Jesus. Right? There is no record of sin in your life if you've been paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus. Isn't that incredible? There is no sin. There can never be any sin because Jesus paid the penalty of all of your sin, past, present, and future, done away with. The legal demands were legally met by the death of Christ. He bore the penalty. The legal demands have been met, so you are free from sin in Jesus Christ. Guaranteed eternal life. But because he never sinned, death could not hold him down. And when he rose on the third day to new life, the Bible says because your sins have been paid, you actually rose in him. You already have life with Christ forevermore. This is why in our main passage back in verse 56, it says, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus. What does that mean? The power of sin is the law. Did the law make us sin? Now, it doesn't make us sin. It just shows us that we are sinful. Right? That was the power of the law to cause sin. The sin showed us that we couldn't live a life that was honoring and pleasing to God. And we see that in lots of little ways. I should ask for a show of hands here, but I'm not going to. But there would be people in this room that if the speed limit is 100, they have to do somewhere around 110. If the speed limit is 110, they have to do more like 120. Is this identifying with a few people here, right? There's a sense in us where we want to rebel. And as Christians, we recognize that that rebellion is intrinsic to our nature. In fact, it carries on. The old nature has been put to death in Christ, but it's always trying to rear its head, isn't it? Christians wanting to date non-Christians, Christians not wanting to serve Jesus, whatever it is, that old rebellious nature is always waiting to creep up to the fore. So all of the commands of God just reveal to us our sinful hearts, but Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. He paid the penalty of our sin so that in him we become the righteousness of God. No longer under law that we can't keep, but in Christ's victory being transformed from one degree of glory to the next by the Spirit, until we will finally, in an instant, it'll be finished. And we will be like him, perfected. This is the good news. This is the good news that we believe. This is the good news that we teach. This is the good news that defines every moment of the day that you live on this earth. The good news that you believe right now, today, tomorrow, next week, next year is, oh death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? Because I have life in Jesus forevermore. That is the good news that we celebrate. Well, that takes us to the last part of our verses in chapter 15. What impact should that truth have? What impact should that have on you today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter? Well, Paul tells you, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, therefore means in light of the truths that he's just given us, because of these truths, be steadfast, be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, immovable, not whiny and shaken, steadfast. Immovable. Not clinging to some other form of security other than the death and resurrection of Jesus. These truths about death, where is your sting, Christ's victory over death, these are the verses that have encouraged generations of Christians in persecuted countries who have died for their faith to keep pressing forward for the gospel. Because they understood. They were immovable in Christ because of what was promised. Do you know what fear does? Fear cripples your heart and it cripples your service of Jesus. The fearful heart will lash out and bring disunity. In fear, they will try to blame others, condemn others, have contempt of others. Their fear means they bring division, and the result is they stop themselves and they stop others from working for Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. When you understand the gospel, you'll be steadfast and immovable, and you will work, says Paul. If you are no longer steadfast and immovable in the gospel, fear will lead to a failure to work for the glory of Christ. Rather than asking, Lord, what are the opportunities in a pandemic to proclaim the gospel? What are the opportunities in a world gripped by fear? What are the opportunities for us to bring a message of hope in Jesus? Rather than that, Christians bite and devour one another out of fear. Fear can lead to being locked away. I need to protect myself and my family. I need to stay hidden away. Whereas Jesus said, no, go into all the world and I will be with you. Fear leads to inaction and a lack of work for Jesus. The fearful heart can put their hope and trust in the wrong place. We must do what the government says. Government will save us. If the government says we can't worship, then we can't. But fear can also lead to rebellion against the government. Oh no, they're trying to conquer and control us. We must fight them at every turn. Guess what? Our hope is in Jesus and his victory. He is the one who saves us. He is the one we seek to honor. And when we do so without fear, he will guide us in submitting to the authorities that he placed in power. And we should respectfully, at times refuse to follow the government and honor his word. Not out of fear, out of having Jesus and his gospel first. You know, it doesn't ultimately matter what happens with all of that stuff here. Sure, be interested. Like I said, be thoughtful. Do your research. Vote thoughtfully. But what really matters is that our work for Jesus will not be in vain. Right? That's what Paul says. Vaccinated or not, tell people the hope we have in Jesus. Love the government or not, tell people the hope that we have in Jesus. This is the work that will not be done in vain. I've witnessed Christians on social media lately campaigning heavily for or against the vaccine. I've seen people brag about unfriending people who disagree with them. Seriously? Have you ever thought about losing the chance to share the good news is far more important than sharing your view with people who have the same ability to research it as you anyway? Reread Romans 14 about not passing judgment on one another. Your love of vaccines or your hatred of vaccines shouldn't be greater than your love for the people who have a different view than you do. Sure. I feel for those who have lost businesses during this time. That can be very hard. But what this passage is telling us is that steadfast and immovable in the gospel, what matters is our sharing of the good news, our work done for Jesus can never be done in vain. That will always count throughout all of eternity. The good news of how we serve Jesus will last. Right, that is what the passage says. Know the truth of the gospel and let it give you courage every single day to not bow to fear, but to proclaim the good news and the hope that we have in Christ. Right? Don't give in, church, to fear. So what do we do if fear has gripped our heart? Obviously, we consider the truths that were listed earlier, victory over sin and death. There's something else we should do as well. So 1 John 4:18, if you're following along in the passages, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, there is only one perfect love, the love of the Father. When fear grips our heart, the first question that should come to mind is, has my mind shifted from the security of the love of God? Because when I am close to the love of God, when I am close to the knowledge that Jesus died on the cross for me, when I'm close to the promises of being adopted as his child, when I feel that overwhelming love, then there is no place for fear. So the first question is, have I drifted from the love of God? Now, a quick pause. Am I saying that fear in itself is wrong? When the Bible says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, no, because there's fear in the sense of how we should fear God, isn't there? What does that word mean? It's the true meaning of the word awesome. Now, I know nowadays we're like, oh, wow, that's an awesome banana. I should buy that one. But The true meaning of awe is that overwhelming majesty of God that strikes everyone who meets him in the Bible to the ground on their faces in the majestic, holy presence of God. Understanding who God is should inspire awe. Right there, that is that fear of God where we're not flippant with God. We don't wear Jesus is my homeboy t-shirts with God. Right? There's a respect for who he is in his awesome holiness that we should have as Christians, and that is true and right, and if that is lacking, that's a problem. But there's the fear that we can have of earthly things, which cripples, and that fear is wrong. If we truly have Christ in the right place, if we understand his love, then earthly fears should fade. When you know God's love and trust him completely, when you are assured of his care and comfort, then what can man do to you? If you know who he is and what he has done on the cross, then that love drives out fear. Come back to the cross. Come back to Jesus dying for you. Come back to Jesus and let love drive out fear. Then you will be set free to live and work for the glory of Christ, no matter what challenges come in this life. Our goal, your goal, is Jesus. He is the pearl of great price. He is our great treasure. And we are called to work every day for him, steadfast and immovable in seeking his glory. So, church, can I plead with you from the word? Put aside fear. Put aside controversy. Put aside disunity. Come to the love of Christ and proclaim the good news that in him we have nothing to fear. Because the world desperately needs to hear it. They desperately need to see the fact that we're not scared of the government, we're not scared of the virus, and we're not scared of the vaccine. Like I said, make an informed decision. Sure, don't be scared. Put your faith in the love of Christ. Right? That is the gospel that the world needs to hear and see in you and me. May the church be a beacon of light in the darkness of the world as we work every day to shine the light on his glory. That way we will work steadfast and immovable. Let's pray. Lord, I know many people here are not fearful. They trust you, and Lord, I thank you for that you've given them that assurance in their heart they are steadfast and immovable. In that case, Lord, I pray you help them to share that encouragement with other Christians who are struggling. Lord, may they point brothers and sisters in Christ to you and the confidence we have in you that death has no victory, sin has no sting because Christ has done it all. And Lord, may all of us as Christians share that hope to a fearful world. Lord, we can lose our life. We cannot lose our glory and eternity spent with you. Lord, may that hope, the joy of knowing Christ, may that shine as we reach out with your gospel. Lord, we pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Sam. And in the meantime, here's a song for us to proclaim. Build your kingdom here, Lord. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. I'd like to stand with us and join us as we finish the service today.